Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Northern Premier League show, the NPL show, pre-recorded live on a Wednesday with loads of interviews with a lot of Northern Premier League managers this week. But joining me now for this opening bit of the show down the other end of the phone to look back at what was a eventful Saturday afternoon in the Northern Premier League last weekend, we're now joined by the welcome return. It's Mr. James Hayes. Hello, James. How are they?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. Coming up on this week's show, we're going to be joined by Bamber Bridges' new gaffer, Jamie Milligan, and we're going to be talking the FA Trophy, as we're going to be joined by the new manager, Atherton Coles, Brad Cook, FC United's Neil Reynolds, Steve Kittrick at Matlock, and one of the managers at South Shields. At time of recording, TBA. But Lee Picton and Orgrave Fenton will be on the show this week. And later, we've got a full fixture preview, not just for the FA Trophy, but also for the league with Mr. Mark Carruthers from the North East Non-League Football Show. But James, we've brought you on for this bit of the show to talk about last weekend in the league. Where shall we start? Shall we start with the league leaders? They had an epic encounter with Warrington Town. It was game of the day in the Northern Premier League, and there wasn't too much separating them. One apiece, Robert Briggs scoring the equaliser on 30 minutes, following Ben Garrity taking the lead for the visitors. 1-1. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, we've got title race back on the cards a little bit there. South Shields finally being clawed back to a point in the top of the table. Warrington again catching up on the games a little bit, coming back from injury, a little bit of an injury crisis. Great point for him at this moment in time. And again, Warrington showing they're capable of doing what they're doing in the league this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, 4 points off league leaders South Shields. We do have a title race on our hands. We'll get to the rest of the playoffs situation and the promotion race in a second or two. But as we're discussing South Shields, they're next in action on Saturday, where they'll be hosting Southport in the first round of the FA Trophy. A big, big game in the FA Trophy and for the Northern Premier League. Let's have the view now from the South Shields management. Let's hear from one of the joint managers. Here's Lee Picton. Well, Lee, a big thank you for joining us. And before we get to tomorrow's big game, let's talk about last weekend's big game. The big games do keep on coming for South Shields, but how good is that point against Warrington, do you feel?
Yeah, you know, under the circumstances, Ben, it was a great point for us. Obviously, we know we got Nathan Lowe sent off towards the end of the first half, which put us on, you know, the back foot. But then, you know, we came out in the second half and really showed, you know, a huge amount of spirit and togetherness and, you know, and quality as well, to be honest with you. And I think Warrington couldn't have had any complaints if we'd went on to win the game in that second half.
And when it comes to, obviously, you're top of the table as we head towards Christmas, but it is tightening up slightly. I mean, have you noticed that there's a fair few teams this season who are giving you a game, essentially, and it feels like every game's been really competitive this year for you?
Oh, without a doubt. I think, again, the league's proved that you know, anybody can beat anybody, and that is, you know, literally true from top to bottom. So, you know, you've seen Radcliffe who've been flying, you know, I think they won 9 out of the last 10 games before they went down to bottom place Stafford and got beat 2-0. And I think, the league's always going to throw up lots of, you know, funny results, so to speak, based on the league table. And I think it's going to be really tight all the way to the end.
And when it comes to all these matches and that kind of thing, I mean, I do have to mention the FA Youth Cup run as well that the club's been on. There's so much talent that you've got available to you, and there's so much talent coming through, it looks like, as well. That's a fantastic run they've been on this season in that competition.
Incredible. You know, I think they've had to win 6 or 7 games to get to that point, Ben, and, you know, that's no mean feat in itself, but they've obviously beaten the likes of, you know, Morecambe and Hartlepool United, just to name two sides along the way. So, you know, they fully deserve that opportunity to go to a, you know, a big club, you know, in Fulham. And you know, yes, they got to, you know, they had to take a comprehensive defeat in the end. But, you know, they'll have learned a hell of a lot from that experience. And, you know, by all accounts, they're playing against some, you know, some really top young players. And that can only be good for our first team. You know, we've got looking ahead to tomorrow's game, we've got a number of those players who played in that FA Youth Cup run that'll be, you know, at least on our bench tomorrow. So we are trying to give young players a chance here, as well as obviously lads who've got a bit more experience at this level. And, you know, we feel that the blend is a really refreshing one and gives us, you know, energy where we need it.
And how important is the FA Trophy to you and Graham and your vision for what you can achieve this season at South Shields? Because, you know, you like we touched upon with the FA Youth Cup, the club's making history all the time. Southport on Saturday at home. How important is the FA Trophy and what's your expectations about tomorrow's match against Southport?
I think expectations generally in the FA Trophy, we don't really have any. It's just for us, it's a great opportunity to test ourselves against higher league opposition. It's a challenge, like I say, it's a test that we're really looking forward to. And you know, it obviously, games like this, if you can come out the right side of the line, you know, it gives you a little bit of exposure. It brings a little bit of money into the football club, which always helps, and you know, gives the fans a different focus, something else to think about. Everybody can always dream, of course. You know, that's the thing with the FA Trophy, like we experienced here at South Shields with the FA Vars 2-3 seasons ago. It, you know, there is that dream at the end of the rainbow, so to speak, of, you know, potentially going to Wembley. It's obviously a very tough ask for a club at our level, but it's, you know, until you're out, you've always still got that chance. So, you know, we've already won 3 games in this competition and it's still a hell of a long way to go. But we've obviously just got to take one game at a time. And we're just looking forward to the challenge of taking on a very, very strong Southport side tomorrow.
Lee Picton there, one of the South Shield managers, joining us here on this week's NPL show. And I will, of course, be discussing the FA Trophy in more detail later as we're going to be joined, speaking of the North East, by Mr. Matt Carruthers from the North East Non-League Football Show. But back to the title race, Lancaster City, they were in action at Silverlands, taking on Buxton, the first game in charge for Gary Haywood at Buxton. And I think we're safe in saying he passed the test, a 1-1 draw with Lancaster. Not a bad result, that, for Buxton.
So, great point there for Buxton, especially with results going against them a little bit in some of the other games. For Lancaster, missed chance to go top. I think Buxton had a big, I won't say that as a win this weekend.
Buxton, a 1-1 draw with Lancaster City. Lancaster with the chance, as James rightly said earlier, to go top of the table. They remain 1 point behind South Shields. Sneaking up on the pair of them now is Basford United. A good win over Ashton United on Saturday. All 5 goals in this game coming in the second half. Quite an eventful game. Jack Thomas scoring 2 goals for Basford. Basford 3, Ashton United 2. And that steadies the ship a bit at the Nottinghamshire side.
Yeah, especially after the last 2 results that they had again. Defeats to Radcliffe and a draw to Whitby Town. Big winners from this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So South Shields, 36 points, 17 games played. Lancaster City, 35 points, 19 games played. Basford United, 34 points, 18 games played. And Warrington Town, 32 points, 17 games played. So 4 points separating the top 4. It's actually 5 points separating the top 5. Stalybridge Celtic complete the playoff picture. They're on 31 points, having played 19 games. Stalybridge Celtic beating Whitby Town on Saturday by 2-1. Whitby Town, with that result and subsequent other results, are down in 14th position.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Stalybridge, that's 4 wins on the bounce, 2 home wins, 2 aways.
Let's talk about Witton Albion. Witton Albion with a fantastic victory at home to Grantham Town, 3-1. You mentioned Stalybridge Celtic's form. Witton's form's not bad.
But only 1 loss in 7 and, again, unbeaten in 5 at this moment in time. Picking up points against a side where it counts as well. FC United game a couple of weeks ago, wait for your...
Well, Witton Albion, as we said, 6th in the league table, 1 point outside the playoffs with a game in hand. Witton Albion travelling to Radcliffe on Saturday this weekend in the league. More on that game and the other games taking place this weekend with Matt Carruthers, who's joining us shortly. But let's talk about FC United now. FC United of Manchester in the FA Trophy this weekend, where they'll be hosting Kettering Town of that there National League North. They headed to the game in great form, a 5-2 win over Matlock Town on Saturday. Let's hear now from the manager of FC United. Here's Neil Reynolds. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us. And before we get to the FA Trophy, big congratulations for last week's result against Matlock. A fantastic result there, and another hat trick for Tunde.
Yeah, Ben, you know, it's going really well at the minute. You know, we're not getting too far ahead of ourselves, but you know, we are enjoying the run that we're on. I thought last week's performance was, you know, it showed the confidence on the back of the last minute winner against Lancaster. And, you know, the lads are doing fantastically well. They're creating chances. They look like they're enjoying the football, the way they move the ball around. And then, obviously, we've got, you know, a man at the top end of the pitch and that's in a rich vein of form. And, you know, kind of everything that he touches at the minute turns to goal. So, you know, long may it continue. Difficult game against Matlock last week, but another test that we overcame.
And a crackers opening to the game of 2-1 after 11 minutes. But it shouldn't be all necessarily about Olabi, because you are getting a reputation for being the league's entertainers, really, because, you know, you've scored the most goals now in the league and those goals are being shared about.
I think last week was kind of another blip in the road, a bit of a lesson learned. You know, where Dog comes across Doyle, we talk about one attack, three drop off and getting our distances right between each other. And, you know, they just made a very rare mistake, and I'm certainly not going to, you know, hang them out to dry or blast them. You know, the two of them, as with everybody, has been exceptional this season. We, you know, we managed to get ourselves back in the game and then another defensive blip. But, you know, with this team, it's got goals in it. And like you've just highlighted there, we are the, you know, the league's top scorers. You know, this time of the season, we've actually scored one less goal than we did do in the whole of last season. I think 57 was last season, and we're on 56 at the minute, so in all competitions. So the squad is developing nicely. You know, we do like to play open, attractive football. We do like to create chances, and, you know, when the goals arrive, we certainly do like to score goals. And like you said, it's not just Tundy. You know, the range of people. I've got my left-back who, you know, went on a goal-scoring run, 5 out of 6. I've got Doyle, centre-half, who scored in the last 2 games. I've got, you know, Potts chipping in, Linney chipping in. You know, just to name a few. So it is good, but that's what we work on. And, you know, we want to share the goals around the park and not be reliant on one person. But that one person in Tundy, you know, has taken all these goals exceptionally well.
And you're 2 points outside the playoffs now. Obviously, there's a couple of teams around with games in hand, the likes of Nantwich and Radcliffe, of course. But we are entering that Christmas period now. And one thing that's noticeable about FC United's Christmas period is there's a lot of games at Broadhurst Park and in and around Greater Manchester as well. So how handy is that going to be heading into the new year period?
I mean, everyone who knows football, you know, knows the Christmas period is always a tricky one. And there's teams that unexpectedly lose points and teams that unexpectedly gain points. So, you know, games are close together. They're back to back. It's, you know, it's got a little bit of spice around it. Who looks after himself? Who doesn't? So it's, you know, for us, we know what we're targeting over the Christmas period. We know that a couple of teams have got games in hand over us, but we play the trophy tomorrow. So we're hoping that the teams that are around us, you know, drop points. But we're very much chasing down the pack. You know, no one sees us coming and we're just going about our business quietly. You know, we're enjoying the run that we're on, like I said at the start of the interview. I think we're 10 unbeaten now. We're 3 defeats in the last 24. So, you know, we're in a rich vein of form, but football can change at any point. So we've got to be, you know, we've got to be very focused with our task in hand. Like I said, we know the points total that we want over the Christmas period. And hopefully, if we let that, going into January 2020, we're going to be in a real position to make a real assault on the playoffs.
Now, I know this for a fact. The Broadhurst Park pitch, it takes a lot of water and it's going to need to if this game's going to be on tomorrow. There is going to be a pitch inspection across a lot of games. But if the game is on tomorrow, is Kettering coming to town in the FA Trophy? How important is this game for the journey that you're on now with the club and the FA Trophy? How important is it?
Well, firstly, I've got to comment on the ground staff. I know that Graham and Jimmy will do everything they can do to get tomorrow's game on. They've worked miracles this season, and I've no doubt that if the game does go ahead tomorrow, it'll be down to them two people. We're focusing on game being on. We're focusing on 3 o'clock, and listen, we are delighted to be in the first round of the FA Trophy proper. It was our ambition. We're one of three or maybe four clubs that have made it from the Northern Premier. So, you know, we're flying the flag for the Northern Premier League, but our journey doesn't want to stop here. You know, we want to go and beat Kettering tomorrow. We want to get a good draw in the next round, and we want to go as far as we can do. This, to me, is the biggest game of the season. It is a competition that, as a manager, I've never experienced the first round of the trophy proper. I have as a player. But for me, I want to experience the second, third, fourth, fifth, and go all the way to Wembley. And, you know, every manager who doesn't believe in that, then obviously I think they're in the wrong job. But it's one game at a time. Difficult game against Kettering tomorrow. We've been taken over by Paul Cox. I think they're 8 unbeaten. 2 clean sheets in the last 2. We took the game in against Curzon. So we know what they're about. We know we'll have to be at our best tomorrow. But we will be at our best because we're going into it, you know, full of confidence. And it proves to be a really entertaining game. So fingers crossed, Ben. The ground staff can work the magic. And we pack our Broadhurst Park tomorrow.
Neil Reynolds there, manager of FC. So, James, we've both seen Tunde Oyelabe in close quarters. We're going to be hearing from Steve Kittrick, incidentally, later in the show about Matlock Town's FA Trophy match with Chorley. But Steve Kittrick, Tunde Oyelabe's coming off. He shakes Tunde by the hand. It was an epic performance that at the weekend. Really was something else.
Yeah, I was going to say, watching the highlights from that game, Tunde really did put an effort in. 2-1 down and within, was it 20 minutes?
No, it was 2-1 after 11 minutes.
After 2-1 after 11 minutes, FC dug deep. And we know Kittrick's side can play defensively. If I was Kevin, I would be scared for this coming weekend because FC are just scoring. They're funding out the top scorers in the league as a team. Tunde top of the goal scorers list. But they've got four or five players that can do that. Especially from what we've seen at the start of the season, FC have become a dominant form. I know people, a lot of FC fans are saying at the moment they don't want to go up this year.
No, James, we're just here for a good time. Sorry, I believe FC United fans would say they're here for a good time. I believe that's what they would say. Yeah, they are the league's entertainers. I think I said that in the non-league paper this week. But it's true. I think it is true. Let's talk about Radcliffe. Radcliffe were in action on Saturday, and they were beat by Stafford Rangers. And this is quite curious to me because we were talking a lot last week about new management bounces and the fact that Stafford Rangers haven't jumped on that course of action that other clubs around them have taken. And the next game is played, Stafford Rangers. It's just a good, solid 2-0 victory over Radcliffe.
Yeah, first home win of the season there for Stafford. Jake Charles put a great performance on the day.
Off the bottom of the table now. That's because Gainsborough Trinity suffered a 3-2 defeat at home to Scarborough Athletic. Darren Kelly's run of wins now as manager continues. That's 2 from 2.
2 from 2. And again, you can see how the team's developing at this moment in time. It was a great little match as well. It could have gone either way. It was only a 90th minute goal that Scarborough got stuck away with 3 points.
So just to say, Scarborough with that win have moved up to 12th position. A bit higher up the league at the moment is Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town sitting in 9th, 3 points behind Radcliffe, having played the same number of games. But Nantwich Town were beaten by Morpeth by 1-0 on Saturday afternoon. Ben Harmison making all the difference there on 77 minutes. That sees Morpeth up to 13th, leapfrogging over Whitby Town and Matlock Town and Grantham Town. That's how close it all was in that mid-table pack. So a great win there. Hyde United stay in 10th position, though. That's because they were beaten by Atherton Coles at Alderhouse by 2-1 in Brad Cutt's first game in charge. Atherton Coles will be back in action this weekend as they host Barrow in the first round of the FA Trophy. A big weekend for Brad Cook in his early tenure as manager at Atherton Coles. So let's hear what he has to say on the matter. I caught up with Brad on Friday. Well, Brad, a big thank you for joining us and a big congratulations for your appointment at Atherton and a good start. That was a great win over Hyde last week.
Yeah, it was. It was a really good performance as well, which was more pleasing. It would have been a little bit more convincing, if I'm absolutely honest, but I was pleased with a 2-1 rather than a 3-1, 4-1. Just for the fact that the last 5-10 minutes we had to really dig in against a big, strong physical side. So it's shown a different side to the lads and it's shown that they had great character. So, yeah, I was absolutely delighted with the start and long may it continue.
And obviously, you've come to this job from West Didsbury and Charlton, but it's safe to say you are an Atherton Coles legend. How easy was it to go back there and take this job up?
Legend's a strong word. the way it all come about, I was having a great time at West Didsbury. They gave me my first opportunity in management and I owe them massively for this Coles job because if I hadn't jumped into management, I don't think Atherton Coles would have approached the club and asked to speak to him. But as soon as your club comes calling, there was only ever going to be one answer. And they approached my club in the right way at West Didsbury. And I sat down with the chairman and after 10 minutes, after 5 minutes of sitting down having a conversation, we basically agreed and we was moving forward and discussing, what we wanted to do next. So, yeah, I'm an Atherton lad. I'm very, very proud and honoured to be the manager of a football club that I've had so many great memories at.
Let's talk about Atherton Colts now under your charge. I mean, what's your assessment? Because you know, with that win, you know, it's three games unbeaten now. There's two wins in that as well. You're heading into the FA Trophy tomorrow too. So, what's your assessment on where Atherton Colts are at the moment?
No, but we're in a really good place. I'm really, really happy. I'm really, really happy with the squad that I've got. You know, it's a really honest bunch, and you know, in training they give absolutely everything, and we've got a lot of quality sprinkled in it as well. So, you know, we've got a great recipe. And although we've had three really good wins in the last week, you know, I'm confident that we can climb further up the table and hopefully get a little bit of silverware as well with the Lancashire Cup, which has never been won by Atherton Colliers as well. So, yeah, it's been a great first week, you know, and it was a tough week for everyone last week with everything that went on with Michael moving on and me coming in. You know, it was a little bit of a circus at times, but the professionalism of the lads have been absolutely brilliant, and they're a credit to the football club.
And speaking of the football club as well, I mean, like we touched upon in this interview, it is a club close to your heart. And you must have noticed as well, you know, going back there, that the club has moved on, hasn't it? I mean, it is developing all the time. The new academy set up that they're heading towards, and the ground's always making improvements. It's going in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely is, you know, and that's a credit to everyone at the football club, you know, and people move on and but it's not just been a one-man show over the last few years. There's so many people that's been involved in the rise of it, and that's, you know, people that have got their ground grading passed, you know, over the years, which if you've ever been to Atherton Colliers, you know, you'll know that years ago it wasn't the best ground in the world. You know, now the clubhouse has been fully refurbed, there's corporate space there now, etc. So it's massively progressed over the years, and there's so many people that have been part of that and deserve credit for that. And then it's also the people behind the scenes that do the day-to-day match stuff. You've got the media team, which is absolutely fantastic. I think if you've seen the Twitter this year, they've had a number of different videos that, you know, have had tens of thousands of views, which is a credit to the media team. And from the tea ladies that are cooking, instead of cooking for 40 people, they're cooking for 400 people. So it's been a massive team effort, you know, and everyone's buying into it, and everyone's having calls, and it's a community-based club, and you know, that's what it'll continue to be.
And hopefully that'll kick on as well tomorrow, because you're going to need everyone, aren't you, for this one? Barrow coming to town. How is preparations for this game, and what should the home faithful be expecting from your boys?
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it. You know, I don't think anyone expects us to win apart from the lads that are within the dressing room and within, you know, and that includes myself. We're going to be turning up tomorrow, and we feel like we can get a result. We've worked hard all week. We've had some scouting reports back on Barrow. We've found areas that we think we can cause them problems, and we're just going to give it a right go tomorrow. You know, there's absolutely no pressure on us whatsoever, and we want to put on a show for Atherton.
Atherton Colts new manager Brad Cook there joining us here on the NPL show. A great victory that against Hyde United, and sets them up nicely for that game against Barrow on Saturday, James.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Barrow top of the National League at the moment. You couldn't get a harder ask in the FA Trophy at this moment in time. The result for Atherton there was your audition for Saturday.
One last result to talk about from the weekend, and involves Bamber Bridge and their new manager Jamie Milligan, who's returned to the club as manager. Bamber Bridge 3-2 winners over Micklehover Sports on Saturday. Let's hear now from the new gaffer at the Sir Tom Finney Stadium. Here's Jamie Milligan. Well, Jamie, a big thank you for joining us, and a big congratulations on your appointment as manager at the club. How's your first week been, or so, I suppose?
We came in on Tuesday. That was our first day. We met the players, me and my assistant, John Hills. I had a chat with the players, told them what was expected, i.e. training and matches, the way we're going to be playing, the tempo we're hoping to play at. I was dead honest with them. I said to them, listen, I'm going to be getting lads out. I'm going to be getting lads in. That's football at the end of the day. We've had a few tough conversations this week with lads that are going, because I played with them as well. Do you know what I mean? So it's been tough, but I've got to do it at the end of the day.
I mean, like you touched upon there, I mean, you have got a history with the club. So how Is that a hindrance, or is it quite familiar to you? So is it helpful?
Yeah, it's all quite familiar because I know pretty much 95% of the players already. I know the fans, I know the club, I know how it works, I know the restrictions I've got, I know pretty much everything about the club. So I'm not walking into it blind, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? So it's just need to start climbing that league now, and that's it.
I mean, you've touched upon your initial assessment of the squad and that kind of thing. What one thing you have got, and I know this for when you came into FC United at the time, great connections with not just non-league in the Lancashire area, but league as well. So how useful are those contacts going to be, do you feel?
Yeah, they are, to be fair, this week they've been very useful. I'm hoping to get a couple of loans in next week from clubs where I know people. I've had phone calls from different managers in league, in the conference, asking if I need help, just let them know and they'll loan me any players I need. So it's really good having that connection, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you weren't in charge at this point, but a good result last week, and as a bit of a curtain raiser to your reign in charge, the win over Mickleover Sports. I mean, we've had Joey on in the past, because this season there has been some blips and where there has been some good performances.
Yeah, they haven't been far off. Do you know what I mean? I've watched a lot of highlights of the games, and my assistant went to the game last Saturday and watched that because I was away. They're not a million miles away, honestly. They're not. I know the players, I know what they're capable of. It's just I need that little bit of structure, I think, moving forward, and hopefully we can do that.
And obviously this weekend, weather permitting, obviously you're travelling to Whitby. You've had a couple of conversations, you've done the training and that kind of thing. How prepared are you for this game?
Yeah, we've done the best we can. Tuesday night we worked for quite a bit on how we're going to play, the shape we're going to play. I know it's early days, so it's a lot for the players to take in this early. But they seem to take to it. They seem to buy into what we're going to be trying to do. And the main thing is we need to get a few results, and then we can concentrate a bit more on different things.
And how much are you looking forward to that first home game next Saturday against Matlock?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going away tomorrow, to be honest with you, because I know it's a bit of a trek, but I don't mind. I'm really looking forward to the first game, but obviously the home game will be brilliant, and there should be a few there.
And before you go, Jamie, it's a traditional question I like to ask managers when they take over. But what is your message to that Sir Tom Finney faithful as your reign starts?
Yeah, I know how faithful the fans are, because I've been there as a player, and I know they travel away. They come out of the numbers for home games. You know what I mean? And I've said to the boys, just when we're playing at home, especially, we want you just to relax. And play the football we want you to play, and just enjoy it and excite us as well, because I don't want to be stood on the sideline watching boring football. I won't do it. There's been no point. So I want them to go and enjoy the way that we're going to try and play, and which is going to be attacking at the end of the day. So hopefully the fans will enjoy that.
Jamie Milligan there, the new manager at Bamber Bridge, speaking to us here on the MPL show. And, that's kind of made the bottom quite interesting, that victory over Mickleover, hasn't it? Well, that's all the results from last weekend. We've got Mark Carruthers from the North East Non-League Football Show joining us in a second for a preview for this weekend. And we're going to hear from Matlock Town's manager, Steve Kittrick, on that game against Chorley this weekend at Causeway Lane. But James Hayes, busy weekend for you to come. We should say at this stage, disclaimer, because it is chucking it down. If you are greeted by ducks on your pitch on Saturday afternoon, do check Twitter before setting off. That's our advice, and the league website, of course. But James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us, and you have a lovely weekend.
Always, Ben. Thank you very much.
A big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. But it's now time to draw our eyes to this weekend's probably washed out fixtures. And joining me down the other end of the phone, far from washed out, it's Mr. Mark Carruthers from the North East Non-League Football Show. Hello, Mark, how are you?
I feel a bit washed out at times, but it's felt that way recently. The amount of games that have been postponed.
It's very wet, isn't it? Big disclaimer for this bit of the show. Do check outside your window just to make sure that it's not raining. And if it is raining or has been raining and there's ducks on your pitch, make sure you check your club's Twitter feed or the league website. But Mark, let's pretend that everything's fine. We're recording this on Thursday. And let's talk about the FA Trophy firstly. We've got Steve Kittrick coming on shortly from Matlock Town. We'll cover that game last. So let's start off with Atherton Colts against Barrow. Can there be an upset at this one?
It's a big ask, isn't it? It's a huge ask. The Colts have kind of... their attention's been taken away from the league, hasn't it, by this trophy run. It's been a great run for them. This one, it could just be a step too far. I mean, it is a big gap to make up two divisions. Bar a good side on the day, aren't they, let's be honest. And I think it may well be, but you never know. It's a cup competition. It's a one-off game. Anything can happen. But, I do just think it'll be a step too far. But it's one of those, I think, if Barrow were struggling in the league and they were near the bottom of the National League, then I think maybe you could say that, you know, Colts could get a result. But I just think Barrow are flying at the moment and I can't see it, but I hope I'm wrong.
Well, a big good luck to Afferton Coles in that one. We obviously heard from Brad Cook earlier and, you know, there's a good vibe about Afferton Coles with a new management in charge. And speaking of good vibes, there's a good vibe around FC United at the moment. They're hosting Kettering Town this weekend and they're scoring for a laugh at the moment, FC.
They are flying, which is great to see. I mean, I think we say this all the time, don't we, that when teams come down from the National League North, there's always a bit of a slump. But I think with FC United slowly starting to get used to the league and slowly starting to rebuild again, everything seems to be on the positive, and I think that'll help them. This one is one, like I was saying, the last tie we discussed, Kettering are towards the bottom of the National League North, although they have improved under Paul Cox since he's gone in there. I think you know what you're going to be facing with a Paul Cox side as well. It's going to be in your face, it's going to be direct, so it is going to be a tough challenge for FC United, but they are confident. They are playing against a side that are sat in the lower reaches of their table. So this one, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a shock in this one.
Okie dokie.
Although I suppose if I'm not surprised, it's not a shock, is it?
Well, really? That's it. And I was going to say, though, speaking of surprises, is there going to be a surprise at South Shields on Saturday? Can Southport do it?
Now, this is an interesting one, isn't it? Because, I mean, Southport are going really well in the National League North and sat in fourth at the moment. But South Shields, what I've noticed recently and in the last few seasons, have always been lauded for the good football they play, how they keep it down, they keep it on the floor and play this lovely possession-based football. And it's always, you know, pleasing on the eye. But in recent weeks, they've shown a different side to the game where they're really grinding out results. You look at last week, played for the entire second half against Warrington Town with 10 men and got a 1-1 draw. And I think it shows that there's more to South Shields this season than just the pretty stuff. They are able to do the dirty stuff. They are able to, you know, dig in when they have to. And I think that's going to help them in cup competitions. It's the first time they've ever reached this stage of the FA Trophy in the current form of South Shields Football Club. So it's a massive occasion. It is, again, a big ask because it is a big difference that they're making up. But there'll be a big crowd at Mariners Park. That can make the difference. Southport won't relish going there. It's an intimidating place. You know, the crowd are right on top of you. There'll be a brilliant atmosphere. I think South Shields can do it. There's no reason why not. But they will have to be at their best and Southport may have to have an off day. But that could happen. So there's no reason why it shouldn't.
And then that leads us on to our final FA Trophy tie this weekend. Matlock Town against Chorley. Mark, we'll get your thoughts in a second or two. But on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at Matlock. Here's Steve Kittrick. Well, Steve, a big thank you for joining us. We'll get to the match with Chorley in a second or two, but just your reactions to the league form and that kind of thing. I saw you last week. Performance-wise, it's there, isn't it? So where are you at the moment, do you feel?
Well, I just feel last Saturday, I thought we played some good football in times, and really, it could have been 5-6, 6-5 last week. It could have been 3 apiece at half time. But I just feel as defensive side is letting us down at the moment, where we were solid at the beginning of the season. We just seem to be a little bit open, and we've addressed that this week in training, and hopefully we can be solid again at the back and stop letting silly goals in. And to be fair, to the lad who played up front for FC, I thought he bullied our defence.
No, I commented on it earlier because you shook his hand when he was coming off Sunday. And he was unstoppable, wasn't he? There's nothing else to be said.
Yeah, but if you're not going to try and tackle him, you know, my argument was that he didn't realise he were in a game. I think the five goals we give away were all our mistakes, and we could have dealt with things.
That's the league match as we head into this game. I mean, when it comes to the league table more generally, it's much of a muchness really in mid-table. What do you make of the promotion race and the playoff race at the moment? Because there's so many sides involved in it, really.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody's got stronger this year and it's a good league. You know, players are filtered down. And, you know, our biggest mistake was having a fantastic 5-beat-run run at the beginning of the season, because everybody expectations then massive. But I knew we'd level out. We've lost games by the odd goal, and I feel we've been in there. It's only just this last week or so where we've not performed as good as we can, and have a tight defence. And I just think if you win two or three in this league, you can be at playoffs. If you lose two or three, you can be in mid-table to bottom five. So that's how important things that winning games are this year. And it's an exciting league this year.
No, it really is. And I was going to mention about the defensive record of Matlock, because, you know, even when you're losing, you're only losing by the odd goal. And, you know, it's like you say, it has been built on, that initial start of the season has been built on a solid defence and winning games. And that's difficult to keep that going, but that all the building blocks are there, aren't they?
Well, yeah, we've got to get back, you know, I'm not making excuses, but we've got to get back to doing the basic things. We've had one or two injuries, and one or two players have gone back to the former clubs. So we're down to bare bones. We're working off 17 people at the moment, and we've like I said, we've got a couple of injuries. So we've just got to get on with it and get back to doing the basic things. If we get back to basic football first, and then it helps us express ourselves and go and play, you know, exciting football, which we can, which you probably saw last week.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a cracking first half. That's for sure. I was going to mention though that it is the FA Trophy tomorrow. It's Chorley, and you know, a couple of seasons ago, this was a league game. So how do you prepare for this game? Because, you know, it is a banana skin for Chorley. This.
Well, yeah, it is, and we've just got to, like I said, we've got to be organised defensively. They're obviously, they did really well last year, and they've been on the periphery of going up for the last couple of seasons. Good management team, some good players. But the big thing they know about these games. They know about Northern Premier League games and Conference North games, because they've been around there. So they've done their hard work coming up. They're not a team that's come down and dropped from league to league. They're a team that's done really well the last couple of years and gone up. So they know that it'll be tough tomorrow. We're hoping it's going to be tough tomorrow and make it a tight game.
And the crowd's going to be very, very important tomorrow as well. I mean, what's your message to the home support at Causeway Lane for tomorrow's match?
They've just got to keep behind us and keep going again, haven't we? And you know, we'll make it difficult tomorrow for Chorley, you know, and we hope it's going to be a tight game. And I think it's about, all fans want is people to give a good performance. So if the players give 110%, and whatever the outcome is, can't ask for any more.
Steve Kittrick there, manager of Matlock Town, joining us here on the MPL show. Matt Carruthers joins us. He's still here from the North East Non-League Football show. Matlock against Chorley. What can Matlock do here, do you think?
Well, it doesn't seem that long since we were talking about this as a regular Premier Division fixture, does it? Yeah, Matlock, I think with this one, it's just a case of getting in Chorley's faces. They're having a bit of a nightmare in their first season back in the National League. I think they've only won, was it three or four games so far this season in the league out of 25. So they clearly will be, you know, lacking in confidence, Chorley. Matlock just have to try and force mistakes out of them, play on that confidence, try and give them as little time on the ball as possible, and just take your chances when they come. I think this one would probably be, again, it will be a shock. Matlock can't do it. They have got players in that squad more than capable of pulling off a shock in this one. So I'm going to say a replay at least.
Well, I'll be speaking to all four managers, obviously, for the second round of the FA Trophy when that happens in a few weeks' time. But a big good luck to Atherton Coles, FC United, Matlock Town and South Shields in the first round. But, Mark, while you're here, you might as well walk us through the fixtures for this weekend as well, because there's a plethora of MPL Premier Division matches this weekend. So while some of the while some sides aren't in action, there's a chance for a few other sides to make some hay. One of those sides, obviously, is Lancaster City. They'll be hosting Stalybridge Celtic. This is a pretty big game. I'm going to suggest game of the weekend.
I mean, Lancaster, of course, can go top. But if Stalybridge can go there and get a result that thrusts them right back into the title mix. Not that they're out of it, but it puts them right in there if they can. I just think Lancaster might sneak it. You know, they are very strong at home, unbeaten at home in the league this season. Got David Norris, who's in great form. So I think Lancaster may well sneak this one, but it'll just be by the odd goal.
I did say that was game of the day. There's another contender for game of the day just up, just down the M6. Warrington Town will be hosting Basford United on Saturday. I tell you what, I mean, this is dynamite, isn't it? Because whoever wins those two matches there is going to be having a decent Christmas, it looks like.
Well, I'm guessing South Shields couldn't really have asked for a better couple of fixtures when they're not in league action, could they?
No, exactly.
If those two games finish as draws, I think the winners in both games are South Shields. But yeah, Basford and Warrington, two sides that have really stepped things up this season. I think Warrington will have been disappointed not to have taken all 3 points last week from South Shields. Didn't really impose themselves on South Shields, despite having that numerical advantage for most of the second, well, for all of the second half. So they'll be vastly disappointed and want to make up for that. Basically, having a great season, possibly having a season people expect them to have last year. I think they will last the pace. This one is a massive sit on the fence for me. I think it'll be a draw.
You're going to sit on the fence for the next one as well, I could just tell. I mean,
I'm not going to now, just because you said that.
There you go. That's reverse psychology right there, isn't it? I mean, we mentioned the two first games there as being games of the day. Radcliffe against Witton Albion is an epic encounter at this stage of the season. It's a must not lose, I'm going to suggest, for Witton Albion, given how many games they've played.
Yeah, I think so. But again, we look where Witton were, you know, a month or 6 weeks ago, and they've really picked things up. They've improved and they've got themselves right into the mix, certainly in with a great show at the playoffs, if not for the title itself. But it's amazing how the top eight is kind of grouped together from where things were just over a month ago. It seems as if we've pulled everyone in together somehow, and it's really going to make for an exciting second half of the season, I agree. I think Witton just don't have to lose this one, but if Radcliffe can get a result, which I think would arguably be one of the best results of the season, it would really throw them into that mix for a top five place.
Nantwich, I think at the moment, it's been a bit stop-start, hasn't it, since the various cup competition exits. But they're not, you know, they're only 5 points outside the playoffs at the moment with a fair few games in hand. So Nantwich desperate to get back involved, I'm going to suggest. They're hosting Buxton, though. This is a tough game now with Gary Hayward at Buxton, midway through a new management bounce.
It is, yeah. And it's one of those where 3 weeks ago you might have said that this is a nailed-on win for Nantwich. But I think that new manager bounce has taken a bit of an impact. And And you wouldn't be surprised if Buxton got something here. I have to say Nantwich will be vastly disappointed by that defeat at Morpeth last week. I don't think they put in the performance that they were expecting at Craig Park. However, I think they will just have too much for Buxton. Nantwich's pace and power from the forward players will just be a bit too much. And I think they'll get a win here. 2-0, I'll say. I'll go so far as to predict a scoreline.
Also, 5 points outside the playoffs, we've got Hyde United. Hyde United will be hosting current bottom of the table Gainsborough Trinity. That's due to that great win for Stafford Rangers last weekend. So the pressure's back on Gainsborough all of a sudden.
It's strange that, isn't it? Because when we went in there, Curtis, it looked as if things were just going to get moving. And I know, I think Walworth went down there, and I know they struggled to get through them, but did in the end. They gave South Shields a good test. It's a strange one because you always expect that bounce to last a little bit longer than it actually does. And I think now, you're right, the pressure's back on them. Tough game against Hyde. And I think the pressure will remain on them because I think Hyde will claim the win there.
We might as well stick towards the bottom end of the table. We mentioned Stafford Rangers there, and Stafford Rangers will be travelling to Ashton United. And all of a sudden, the Stafford Rangers have got the wind on their backs, haven't they?
It's amazing how quickly someone's season can change on the back of one win. And I mean, what a win to get, as you said earlier. All of a sudden, they go into games like Ashton. Maybe last week they were thinking, this is, you know, it's going to be difficult. We could be right in it if we don't get something against Ashton. But now they're thinking, why can't we go and get something against them? And if they do, you know, they can leapfrog, Buxton and Ashton, depending on that result. For Buxton, it's not a certain defence. I do generally just think this one will be a draw.
And a bit higher up the table, in mid-table land, we've got the archetypal mid-table battle on Saturday. Scarborough Athletic hosting Michelover Sports. The match will definitely be on, I think, on that 3G pitch at the Flamingo Land Stadium. There, I've said it. For Michelover Sports, they did have that win against Buxton, didn't they? But then lost to Bamber, so it's still not quite there at the moment. But Darren Kelly, it's 2-2 at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those where you don't know what you're going to get from from Mick Lover that they normally ought to be. But at the moment, it's just a case of you just don't know what's going to happen with them. It depends on how they turn up on the day. Depends if they perform. I don't think they're the sort of side that can not perform in a game and somehow get a win. I think they have to be on the front foot and playing well to get a result. But yeah, Darren's made a positive start, hasn't he, at Scarborough. Good appointment, someone who knows the level, someone who's had success elsewhere as well, albeit not for his last couple of appointments. But I think going into Scarborough, you know, it's a big club, it's a progressive club, and a club that wants to progress and go higher. And I think they've got a manager there that can help them. So this one, I think you'll be 3-3 by the end of the weekend.
Two final matches to talk about, both involving, well, I don't like calling Whitby Town the North East side. Where do you stand on all that?
I don't want to get into it.
Well done.
I have to because they're included in my book. So
there we go. Well, then they're officially a North East side. Whitby Town hosting Bamber Bridge on Saturday. Jamie Milligan taking charge at Bamber. And, what do you think? Because, you know, it's Bamber Bridge, new management bounce and all that. It's going to be tough for this one for Chris Hardy.
It will. And I look at Whitby and I just think, at the moment, you're expecting more from them. They've got such a good squad and so many players that that are probably better than the league position suggests. I always think that they're thereabouts for the playoffs, but at the moment they're just falling short. And for what reason, I'm not so sure. They've made some good additions recently. The likes of Hobson are well known at this level. Such a good player, such a talented player. But you're right, again, it'll be such a difficult game because of that new manager bounce at Bamber. I think this one, I'm going to go for a Bamber win.
And finally, for this week's fixture preview, brought to you by the good people of the North East Non-League Football Show's Mark Carruthers, we've got Grantham Town against Morpeth Town. Morpeth currently sitting 9 points outside the playoffs with about 34 games in hand. So, what do you think?
Yeah, Morpeth, what I'd say is recently I've been really impressed with their work in the transfer market. They've brought in Callum Williams from Spainwood Town, an attacking right back who can play anywhere across a back four. Callum was at Newcastle as a kid, played under 23s football there, had a couple of loan spells, did well, and was played well at Spainwood in his first season there, to be honest, last year. But he's been a great addition, added to the one that they made when they brought in Liam Noble from Hartlepool, which I think shocked everyone at this level. Given that Liam was Hartlepool's top goal scorer last season. So I just feel that Morpeth squad, and I know it's down to the, obviously, the games that they haven't played rather than the ones that they have. It is better than the league suggests, I think, but that is purely just down to the fact they've got so many games in hand. The problem for Nicky Gray now is the fact that those games in hand are vitally important. They have to win them. But I do think Morpeth will get in the playoffs by the end of the season. I think their squad is a very good squad. For this level, we shouldn't forget it is their first ever season at this level as well. So I'm trying not to put too much expectations on them, but it is going to be tough going to Grantham. It's, you know, everyone knows what you get when you go there. It's a big open ground. It's going to be windy. It's going to be cold. It's going to be a challenge. Grantham will be in your face, so they're going to have to live up to that. But you know, when they've been to places like Consett in the Northern League, they should be used to it. So. Yeah, I think Morpeth will come away with 3 points there, but it'll be a tight one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very, very intriguing weekend, both in trophy and league. And a big thank you to Mark Carruthers there for walking us through all those matches this weekend. The North East Non-League Football Show's taking a little bit of a Christmas sabbatical. But while you're here, Mark, we do need to plug your book, which is now available in paperback, I believe.
It is available in paperback, yeah. It's available via Amazon for $11.99. It is a book on the North East success in the FA Vars. So we have 12 teams from 9 different clubs have won the Vars between 1978 and 2017. So it's one story from each of those winning sides. I picked one player or manager, sat down for a good chat with them. They've took me through some of the interesting stories. And just looking at Northern Premier League connections, there are people like Chris Wales, who is Dunstan's manager in the North West Division. He talks about winning the Vars with Morpeth Town when he became Wembley's oldest ever cup final goal scorer in their cup final win against Hereford. There is Julio Orca, who is at South Shields, obviously, former Sutherland and Middlesbrough player. He won it with South Shields in 2017, captained them in the final against Cleethorpes Town, 4-0 win. So there's plenty of Northern Premier League connections. Whitby are in there with Harry Dunn, who had so much success in the Northern Premier League as well, with a number of clubs. So there's plenty of Northern Premier League connections. The one thing I will add, the book, the profits from the book are being shared between two charities. That's the If You Care Share Foundation, which is a suicide prevention charity where I'm an ambassador here in the Northeast, and the Motor Neuron Disease Association, which was because one of the stories in the book is about Mark Taylor, who won the FA Vars with Whitney Bay in 2009 and less than a year after winning it was diagnosed with motor neuron disease, and is just such an inspirational character and speaks very openly about his battle with motor neuron. And it's quite an emotional chapter, I don't mind saying. So, yes, it's available on Amazon for $11.99 now. So if anyone fancies it, go and get it and help two worthy causes.
And Mark's book, Northern Goal, Behind the Northeast FA Vars Success Story, is now available via Amazon, as Mark said there. And a big thank you to Mark Carruthers for joining us on this week's show. And a big thank you to all my guests for joining us on the MPL show this week. Remember to check the league website on Saturday morning before setting off for your game. There's been a lot of rainfall over the last 7 days or so across the north of England, so best check before setting off. But that's it for this week's MPL show. A big thank you for joining us. And wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.